Thank you guys so much for listening. This is Nightmare Talkers. We are going to be discussing the movie Poltergeist. Nightmare Talkers does not claim any copyright towards the movie. This is simply for entertainment purposes under fair use. Please support filmmakers in the arm of filmmaking by watching Poltergeist on whatever you can at home. Alrighty then. Welcome back to Nightmare Talkers. It's your host, Smiley, and
it's Grace.
Grace, who is slightly out of it because we were.
I'm a little tired tonight. Yeah.
Is it tired or is it something else? Anyway,
a little bit of both.
Smoke weed every day.
One leads to the other, you know.
Yeah. Anyways, so yes, so today's episode is over the Poltergeist. We're gonna roll the intro real quick. There we go. So the Poltergeist, I have never seen this before. This was actually Grace's idea. Thank you, Grace.
I've noticed something actually while we're choosing what movie to watch for the next episode is you tend to lean more towards slasher and brutal murders, and I tend to lean more towards like ghosts and demons and possessions.
Oh my god, it's a ghost!
Here we go off to the kills to-
You go so more if it's the a- cult area, I go into the more yes. just brutalness of it.
Yes, right? So you can, it's a pretty obvious choice. It's obvious.
Well, how do you say we say we give it, you know, 1 out of 5 stabs, you know? I mean, come on.
Yeah. Hey, this is your podcast. I'm just here for comedic value.
I'm just here for comedic value. That's all I'm here for. Anyways, mm-hmm. So today we're going over Poltergeist, the one that came out in 1982. It was directed by Steven Spielberg. It's a lot different than what you're usually seeing from Steven Spielberg. I think the only other one, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he did Jaws?
Yes.
Yeah, he did Jaws. And so, but like he really hasn't gone into like the realm of like horror movies. Because like you have like the Jurassic Park, which is kind of like horror adjacent, but it's more like family friendly sort of thing.
Clever girl.
It's more suspense than horror.
Yeah, but if you read the books, the book.
Oh, the books are terrifying.
Oh yeah, they're insane. But this is not a book podcast. This is a movie podcast. And so yeah.
Book read.
Wow. Book's upside down. See that? It's pretending to read a book.
So smart me. Enjoy books so much.
And right now we're dealing with some issues. When this video goes up, hopefully we'll have those issues fixed with the last episode, This Makes You Scream, the one that's over Scream. We had some copyright issues. Thanks, Miramax. So now we have to do all the beginnings, like you heard in the beginning of this episode, the disclaimer, which it's not a bad thing. I just hate that we have to do that in order to keep these up. To make sure that you guys are entertained for listening to this and we'll all have a good time and everything. And so, anyways, but off that little rabbit hole, like I said, today we're going to be discussing the 1982 Poltergeist movie.
Before they get into it, real quick warning, epileptic seizure warning, because this movie deals with a lot of flashing in certain areas, so just a heads up. Okay, enjoy the rest of the podcast.
And I just recently watched it, because I never watched it before. I literally watched it the day before recording, and I loved it. It was interesting. I'm not really into a lot of haunted movies, you know? I'm more into slashers, as, you know, Grace has decided to call me out on. But anyways, it was really good, and then it made me realize how much I hate dolls because of that fucking clown doll.
That little clown doll, dude. Yeah,
like,
it's, first of all, why would you buy that toy for your child?
Well, I mean, it's like, here's the thing, like, if we'll have images up, if you look at like dolls and clown dolls back in like the 80s, I think this was based, I don't know what years it was based. I'm assuming it was based in the 70s or 80s, but still like late early 80s. But the dolls and toys back then were just absolutely horrifying.
It's terrifying, yeah.
Yeah, and comparatively to nowadays, I mean, we'll throw these up here too. Images of Santa back in the day, you know, terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I just shit my pants on God.
But anyways, it was very interesting to watch because here's the thing with like Poltergeist. It's a lot different from like other horror movies in my opinion, because I feel like I don't know if I can say this. I feel like it's more like a family-friendly horror movie. Like you can sit down and watch it with the family, right?
It's a beginner horror, yeah.
Yeah, because there's not like gore, there's no nudity, there's really no cussing in it, there's like hardly any cussing in it, right? I think the only things that kind of might scare children is like, you know, right at the end where the bodies start coming out of the ground, right?
Yeah, there's only like one or two potential jump scares.
Yeah.
That really aren't, like, you can hear the music so you know it's coming.
Except for that fucking clown. Anyways.
Oh, yeah. Jump scare every time.
You know, that swear counter just keeps going up.
Keeping Robin busy, man.
Oh, yeah, you know. What do I pay him for? Wait.
Joke's on you.
And you were only going to pay me 30? You're getting 30 grand? I'm getting 1,000!
You guys are getting paid?
Shh, we're not supposed to know that part yet. Anyway.
Oh, we're not supposed to say the quiet part out loud. My bad.
Ah, fake laugh. Hiding real pain.
Anyways, I think, so I know I'm kind of just going on and on, but I think with Poltergeist, what I liked about it is it's, you know, it brought in kind of a eeriness, unsettling feeling the entire time, because, you know, they're sitting in the house and they know the entire house is like haunted, and then random things will happen and it, all of a sudden all of it stops and does and nothing mm-hmm. happens, and then yep. it starts going crazy again. And so it's mm-hmm. just like, you know, they're sitting there, they're staying at that house, which first of all, I wouldn't even stay at that house. I get it, my daughter's gone missing and stuff like that, but it's like, she's in the spirit world.
I hear the shadow realms lovely this time of year.
We kind of know she's still there at the house. We got these experts coming in. Let's just not stay here and come here when we do investigations. Well, let's not stay here at night because it's too dangerous for everyone to be there. I mean, you know, they send their kids right. off during the movie. They send their kids mm-hmm. off to go stay with people and stuff like that. And it's because it's not safe for the kids to be there, you know? And so... Right. Yeah, that's just my thing. And one of my other gripes, I think one of my gripes is, it went pretty fast. Now, true, the movie's not that long, but it went really fast.
Like it does escalate pretty quick.
Yeah. I would have liked it. Now, again, this is for coming from the opinion of someone in the year 2025, right? Where we have horror movies where the suspense builds up until the craziness starts happening, but then like the craziness is the end of the movie. Like yeah. Hereditary or things, movies like that, Midsommar, things like that, where the craziness, like the craziest part of the movies are at the end. And then there's just kind of suspense build up the whole time. And again, this is coming from someone from the year 2025, you know, movies are a lot different than they are nowadays than they were back then. I think if you wanted to keep people in their seats, you kind of, back in those days, they kind of had to just get up and go, right? Get the movie going, making sure that, yeah, we got people sitting here watching it. Unlike today where it's like, you know what you're going to watch and you know it's going to take a little bit to get there.
He's out of line, but he's right.
Anyways, now me, done with my little thing, Grace, if you want to go.
Yeah. You know, the movie starts out, it's about these two parents, the mom and dad, and their three kids, you know, this teenage girl and these two kids, under the age of 10. And so it opens up with them, the parents tucking in their two kids, the younger kids, just goodnight. And they share a room.
That's actually not how it opens, Grace.
Smoke weed every day.
Dude, I have negative brain cells now.
It opens how so in the beginning of the movie.
In the beginning. Yeah. Way back when.
In the beginning of the movie, it kind of starts off with the stuff because they're on a dead. They're all sitting in the living room. I know the dad's asleep on the chair. The daughter's staring at the TV.
Yeah, the TV's on the static.
Yeah, because back in the day, probably Robin's time.
You know, that is actually before my time. That is winter, though.
TV channels had a sign-off. They would never, like, you know how nowadays, including, like, the regular channels, they have, like, stuff, like...
They're always going,
you know, after midnight. Back then, they didn't. They didn't have things that go after midnight, and so they usually played, like, the Star Spangled Banner or whatever at the end, or whatever country's national anthem was, you know, here in the USA. USA! You know, we played the national... they played the national anthem. And so, and so the national anthem plays... And then the TV goes static, and then the girl starts talking to the people in the TV. Now, at this point, we don't really hear them, you know, and she doesn't say
that. Yeah, it's just faint whispers, indistinctly.
And she doesn't say that iconic line yet. And then the family comes down because they're just wondering why their daughter is talking to the TV screen. They have no idea because the things in the house haven't started happening yet. And then it's the next day, and you got these... You know, you got a guy riding down the bike with, like, just a massive case of beer.
It's like a 24-pack of beer, yeah.
And he's riding
a bike.
See,
you watched this yesterday. I watched this last week.
He's riding a bike. And then...
Of all things, yeah.
Yeah. And then it just shows how evil little kids are. Do you remember this part? How evil those kids were?
Yeah, they kept switching. Their neighbor was on the same, like, remote.
Yeah. But before
and they
that,
wanted to watch.
Yeah, before that, you had the two kids with the RC cars that made the guy trip up on his bike.
Oh yeah, the poor ins spilled like half his beer. What a waste!
And he still ran in the house with the beer just.
Yeah, he like picked them all up singly in his arms and just ran in.
Would you rather drink beer out of a can, a bottle, or on tap? Oh yes, yes, and yes.
And they're like still spraying all over the place, and they're trying to watch the game. And then the TV channel changes, and now. Grace, you can go. Sorry, I know I kind of interrupted you, but, you know, like I said...
I've done it to you, you know. That's just payback.
We're also working on keeping out dead space, airspace.
Yes. Hopefully there'll be none of that this episode.
Yeah, we already got a little bit of it, but it's okay. Robin can take care of that, right?
And it's gone.
What?
It's gone. It's all gone.
Yeah, good. So, you can get out of the basement once this week. There you go.
Go touch grass, Robin.
Oh. How about new?
You can leave the basement.
You're allowed to go outside now.
For 1 hour.
maximum. Yeah, the dad's got some of his friends over watching the football game, and the neighbor has his TV on the same remote, and the neighbor's kids want to watch Mr. Rogers. Like, understandable, you know? What a guy. So they get in this fight, like, back and forth, probably. Honestly, what a legend. They get in this little side tussle of, like, well, my kids wants to watch this, and we're watching the football game.
And those remotes were interesting comparatively now.
Yeah.
Because, like, I watch, like, modern day, how I use my TV, I use my phone. Like, I lost the remote to my TV, if I'm being honest. It's gone.
That's fair.
It's gone.
And it's gone.
What?
Sorry, yeah, that's gone.
Yeah.
It's in the void, man. You're never going to find it.
It fell into the couch.
Oh, yeah. No, you're doomed, yeah.
And so now...
That thing's gone.
And it's gone!
I use my phone, but, you know, also remotes are kind of new back then, too.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, there'd be the dial on the side of the TV that you have to
Yeah, so that's
toggle.
Why there was that issue during that time where they were clicking the channels back and forth because those two remotes were on the same frequency, you know? They were on the same frequency, and that's why they got into the remote battle. Anyways, I got to stop. I know I just watched the movie yesterday. You watched it last week. And
I watched it 8 days ago at this point when we're recording this. Yes.
Yeah. It's just been, we would have recorded this earlier. I would have watched the movie earlier.
Life kept getting in the way, dude.
Life is insane. I've been fighting, like I said, I've been fighting with YouTube over the Scream episode. You know, and unfortunately,
we've both been really busy.
Unfortunately, I do have a day job. Hopefully this kicks off and I won't have to have a day. This will be my day job, right? So it's just been absolutely insane. And so this is like we're recording it now. And it's like,
yeah, we really appreciate you guys sticking with us, though.
Anyways,
I forget that you're on a different time zone than me, but yes.
Anyways, continue.
Even for you, it's late.
And, I'm old.
Back in your day, man. Gramps, it's past your bedtime. You okay? You gonna hang in there?
Yeah. Oh, you know, I just gotta take my pills.
Wednesday.
Looks like he didn't take Sunday through Wednesday. You might want to take those, too.
Okay, take your pills, Grandpa.
Actually, I do have to take.
And if you start snoring, you know.
I actually do have to take pills, so why don't you take it over?
Take your heart pills, and then we'll get back to the episode.
Okay, keep going with the movie before we get way too sidetracked. You know, the Scream episode lasted an hour and a half, and it's mostly just us going off the rails.
It's just a back and forth, yep.
Anyways, Grace, take over. I'm going to go take some pills.
Grandpa, do you need help? Grandpa, can you hear me? Do you need help?
Yeah, so after the little remote battle between the two neighbors, then it switches to the next, or it's either later that night or the next night. But the parents are in their room just watching TV. You know, they already tucked their kids in. And once again, it's doing like the after hours, just static. And there was a storm going on outside, like heavy rain, thunder, lightning, the whole works. So the daughter, Carol Ann, goes into the parents' room and her and her brother, who's about the same age as her, they had fallen asleep in their parents' room to be comforted from the storm.
And the tree.
And yes, that tree is something else.
And the clown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the brother was scared of the tree and the clown.
He threw his jacket over the clown because for some reason they put the clown
facing his bed.
Do you think it was his clown?
It was on his side of the room, so...
Yeah, but, he has a sister, and, you know, I never really experienced this, but I'm pretty sure lots of brothers have. If they share a room with their sister basically takes over that room. I mean...
I'm an only child, so I can't speak for that, but some of my friends have brothers, and I can confirm from what I've heard.
Oh, and then this is true. used to be married, yes, we're making sad portion here.
Yours is mine and what's mine is mine.
Yeah, no, my ex-wife had, like, basically, she had the biggest dresser. I had a nightstand for all my clothes.
You had a Ziploc bag for your clothes.
Basically, and I had, like, a night table, and that was my stuff. We used to have two separate closets. We had two separate closets. Then I had half a closet.
She just took them over. Yep.
Anyways, so continue. Now they're in they didn't have a TV in the parents' room. The girl goes downstairs to the TV downstairs.
No, it was in the parents' room. They were sleeping in the parents' bed and the static is going and she gets up like with just this eerie blank stare on her face and goes and slides down to the end of the bed and sits in front of the TV and hears this whispering. We still can't understand it. But there's like a minor jump scare where there's like this white foggy smoke darts out from the TV in a shape of a hand and just kind of fades into nothing. And then just goes into the wall above where the headboard is. And then there's this massive earthquake that shakes the house, shakes all the furniture, wakes up the family. And then little Carol Ann goes, they're here.
They're here.
They're here.
They're here.
And they also said that earthquake was like a 6.5.
It was a big one, yeah.
It wasn't just our house. It was everywhere. Like, everyone felt it. Because the next day, the dad was on the phone with his job talking about it.
No, he was on the phone, I think, with... I don't know if it was everywhere, because he had something... There was something about, like, you didn't feel that? Like, there was a massive earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
He might have been on the phone with the insurance company seeing what the deal was there.
We're going to have like an image of Robin slowly coming up on the screen with like a notepad just waiting. It's going to be like, come on. Come on, Smiley. Say something wrong again. Come on. I'm ready. Dang it, Grace. You said it right. Dang it. All right.
We need a Smiley's wrong counter, too.
You know, it's late. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Gramps is tired.
So continue. That's the next morning, and they're talking about the stuff that happened the night before.
Yeah, the dad's on the phone with someone, and he leaves for work, and the mom is trying to get the two younger kids to school, because the teenager immediately was like, you know, I'm gonna go to school, you know, my friend is taking me by. And during breakfast, there's like a bunch of random, at this point, unseemingly weird, but no contributing cause yet, things that happen. Like, there's the glass of milk, like the bottom just breaks off.
And to the sister's cereal, too, which was funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's also, like, the boy is just eating his bowl of cereal, minding his own business, and he picks up his spoon, and it's basically bent in half.
Nice.
And... yes. And the mom is cleaning up at this point from breakfast, and all the kitchen chairs are pushed out from the table. And so she calls to her kids, like, how many times have I told you to push in your chairs after you're done? She pushes them in herself, turns away for half a second, and then all the chairs are once again moved away from the table on their own.
At that point, the ghosts were just playing with them.
They were just having a laugh, yeah.
And we say ghosts for a reason that we'll get to later.
Number. Ghost! Again!
Yeah, and they continue, because she pushes the chairs in a second time, turns away again for a second, and all of the chairs are just stacked up in, like, this pyramid up on the table.
Yeah, and it's like one of the most iconic scenes from that movie, because a lot of modern day horror movies have taken stuff like that and added it to their movies as well, you know.
Yeah.
And apparently that's a sign of like a classic haunting. I don't know. I've never been
from
to
what I've heard. Yeah,
I've never been to an actual haunted house. Maybe one day in the future, me and Grace will do an episode in an actual haunted house and see how she likes it.
Oh, heck yeah, dude. You would have a field day. I'd have to put you on one of those little monkey backpack leashes and be like, Smiley, we got to record an episode. We're doing an episode right now.
But there's
no,
a
you
ghost.
Can't go say hi to the clown. No, you can't say, you can't go say hi to the ghost and the clown. You have to record this episode.
No, I want to say hi.
The clown will still be there. We got to record this first.
Oh, yeah, never mind. It's behind you. What? So you have, like, all that. And it's just like, random spooky stuff happened in the house throughout, like, the day. And then it's night again. And they're all getting ready to go to bed and everything. And a storm kicks up again. Yeah, storm kicks up again.
Yeah.
And we learned this from the scene before, like, the night scene before, where... the dad was like, okay, how far away do you think the storm is? I don't know. Okay, so once you see lightning, count up. And if you how many seconds it is, that's how further away, which in real life, because sound, you know, sound travels light travels faster than sound. And so.
Yeah, I was taught that same thing growing up.
And every second is a mile.
Yep.
And so, but then it just kept getting closer and closer and closer. And then eventually it starts going chaotic in the house. That's when everything just starts going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Gets chaotic in the house, and then the tree busts through the window.
Yeah, the tree that the little boy was so afraid of, like, just crashes through their bedroom window and grabs him and pulls him out. And this is something that I want to bring up. Normally, you're one with, like, the side fun facts. I have a few for this episode. So, strap in,
sound the alarm, sound the alarm.
So in that scene where the tree is eating the kid, that was actually, so it was filmed in reverse. So the way they filmed it, the tree was actually like barfing up the kid. And then they just reversed it in post.
Interesting. Yeah, that, you know, yeah. A lot of movies did that back in the day, because I think Jaws is like one of them that they reversed. They did like a lot of stuff in reverse. Where,
yeah, maybe, you know, that's just a Spielberg thing.
I don't know if it's a Spielberg thing, because there's lots of movies that do the reverse tactic when it comes to different things in the movie, because it's a lot easier to do it. It's just like it makes it look more realistic, right?
Yeah.
When that scene is happening, you know, in our eyes when we're watching it, it's happening forward. Right. But obviously when they filmed it, it was, you know, backwards. And so, and so that's actually pretty cool. I did not actually know that. That's why I think that's probably why it turned out so well.
So. Yeah. They had tried filming it regularly, but the Spielberg was like, that just, it doesn't hit the mark, you know, like
it
something's
off. It seems too unrealistic.
It's yeah, so they're like, let's enough. Reverse it. Yeah, let's try it. Let's have the tree barf up the kid. Reverse it. Let's go with that. Yeah, that looks good. We'll put that in the movie.
Another thing that was, I think a lot of movies, now thinking about like stuff being filmed in reverse, Friday the 13th, like the movie series of Friday the 13th, was actually really popular of doing films, like stuff that was shot in reverse. I can't figure out specific details, but I know they did that. Lots of old school horror movies did that. Like I know for sure Evil Dead has done it several times. Did stuff in reverse. A lot of like paranormal movies are known to fill things in reverse because it makes it more realistic, I guess. Right?
Yeah, I don't think it's, I think it's used more in paranormal movies, but I'm, don't quote me on this, but I'm sure that even regular, like not spooky movies.
Oh, yeah.
Do things in reverse, yeah.
Yeah, and then like, what is it, going back to spooky movies, because that's what we do here.
That's our thing.
A lot of stuff like in The Conjuring and Annabelle and stuff like that, franchises are filmed in reverse, like especially with a lot of scenes where people are flying everywhere. Like getting, as good old Mr. CZ's World, which if you haven't seen that guy, amazing, 10 out of 10. Love that guy.
Would recommend.
Yeah. If he ever listens and wants to be on an episode, hit me up. Anyways, the coined phrase from him is air yeeted. And
yes,
you know, they get like
that
people
sums
just
it
get,
up.
That people just get thrown around and stuff like that. You know, it's like those, a lot of those scenes are filmed back and in reverse. I know like with The Conjuring 2, that whole scene with the tree spike and everything, that was actually filmed in reverse. So yeah, I mean, yeah, that is very interesting. I did not know that. It's cool. So, yeah, let's get off this rant before Robin gets mad at us. Anyway, so continue with the tree eating scene.
Yeah, so obviously the whole family panics because a tree just ate their kid. During this time, Carol Ann is pulled into a portal into the closet and just disappears from the mortal plane.
From the mortal plane.
The mortal plane of existence. And also, there it's still storming out, by the way, during this entire time. It's raining, thundering, lightning.
Well, that's high the winds. Cause of the poltergeist. That's one of the things the poltergeist is doing, is causing that storm.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just like, eventually, there's a storm happening at the same time. No, it caused it.
It's the poltergeist's fault, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had escalated into a tornado, which, like, right after they pulled the kid out of the tree got sucked into the tornado.
A tornado flew around my room
and my room before you came.
Excuse the mess it made. We gotta stop. This is copywriting. We said we weren't gonna do this.
We tried.
Anyways. So.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah, the parents at this point realize that, hey, where's our other kid? Like, where's our youngest daughter? They run back into the house and are, like, doing the classic parent, like, where are you? Like, hello, where are you? They're searching everywhere, opening every door, and they don't find her, but they can hear her voice calling from the television.
I can't really do it, you know. Just go, mommy, you know, and yeah, Robin, you can add, you can, yeah. You can add an effect in there later. I'm asking way too much of this man.
He does it because he loves us.
And, you know, one day, yeah, if it starts going good, he's like, yeah, I got a job. Solid job right there. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
See, Robin's making himself, he's doing job security right now. That's what's really going on. He's doing everything I ask, just because, you know, in the future, it's like, if this goes off, that's job security right there.
He's got it, man.
Yeah.
For sure.
Anyways.
Yeah, if you want to take it from here.
Yeah, so that whole thing happens with the daughter going into that astral plane, I guess, of existence. And then, you know, it's not really the next day, but, like, the scene eventually goes to the point where they're at the college talking to the three paranormal investigators, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those paranormal investigators are like, okay, so what happened? What's going on? And he kind of tells them everything. And the dad just looks horrible. You know, he looks like he hasn't slept in days.
Yeah.
Things like that. And, you know, it's like he's called into work sick because of everything that's happening. And also, they have not told a single soul, no pun intended, they haven't told a single soul what is happening in their house, mm-hmm. because, you know, they really don't want to be labeled as the crazy family, right?
Yeah. With
everything kind of going on.
Yeah, they had put out a be on lookout for their daughter into the police station.
Yeah, and then also on top of that, the dad is responsible for almost half the sales of those houses there, right? And so he, you know, he kind of wants to keep an image for, you know, professionally wise, he wants to keep an image up. Mm-hmm. And so they go to the paranormal investigators, show up to the house, and they kind of give them the rundown of, like, what's happening, all the stuff that's happening throughout the house. And eventually they, like, start talking. I think one of them brings up, like, oh yeah, I've studied stuff like this before. One time there was this, like, one car that traveled 7 feet, and he was like, oh cool, you know, like, the dad really didn't care. And it's like, but it took 7 hours. He's like, 7 hours for what? It's like 7 hours to go 7 feet. We had it on a time lapse, right? And so, you know, I think that paranormal investigating team was, like, really underprepared for what was gonna happen, right?
Because they had just no idea. Yeah,
they're just, you know, again, like, they're like the kind of people that, you know, with, like, modern day paranormal investigating is completely normal nowadays. I mean,
mm-hmm.
every YouTuber and
everybody's
mom,
got a ghost show.
Yep. Literally every YouTuber and their mom go to haunted houses, do the really dumb 3 a.m. challenges, which aren't real, but, you know, they still get clicks.
We pretend they are, yeah.
I don't want to get into those things.
that's another episode, yeah.
Well, it's just, I don't know, like, because paranormal stuff has gotten a lot more popular nowadays than it was back in the 80s, you know, that's why, you know, you can say, oh, my house is haunted, and your house could be featured on a show about hauntings. And so, anyways, and so in the 80s, paranormal investigating wasn't that big, right? I mean, the only two that were really well known for paranormal investigating, but they were getting paid for it was, why can't I remember their names?
Ed and Lorraine Warren?
Ed and Lorraine Warren. They were the first ones to kind of put it on the map, right? Mm-hmm. And so
they were what made it big,
yeah. And so because of their stories. And so you have this paranormal investigation team. They're literally doing this for free. They have all the equipment and everything because they can't, you know, they're trying to catch this phenomenon. And so they go and ask the dad, like, oh, where's the most activity, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, oh, it's up in my son and daughter's room. And they're just expecting, you know, some weird anomalies, like small minor details. They're going to set up their cameras and just watch the room, right? And then they open the door and, like, the bed's spinning, the clown's laughing, things are coming up to
yeah, like, things are like flying around the room.
Yeah, like it's, and you can see the look on all their faces. Like,
they're like, this is not what we signed up for.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely different than what they're used to. And so, and so they go back downstairs and they start setting up their stuff. And the mom's talking to, like, the head lady about it and everything. And one of the funniest scenes is, like, they give them, like, coffee or whatever. And then you see the coffee pot move.
Yes.
on the counter, yeah, away.
One of the ladies is like, I'm not entirely sure you have, you know, a haunting here. And the coffee pot moves. And she's like, yeah, you definitely have a haunting here.
Well, so they were discussing, like, is it a haunting or is it a poltergeist? And then they're like, what do you mean a poltergeist? Because hauntings were normal, but they never heard of something like that before. And they're like, well, here's the difference. Like, hauntings, they last forever. They're not really set. They said they're not really set to certain areas, which is not true whatsoever.
Hauntings are typically tied to a person and a location. Yeah. Poltergeists are more sporadic and just kind of do what they want for a little bit and then they go away.
To be fair, it was both a poltergeist and a haunting.
So, before they continue, I just want to say my house is actually haunted. We have a ghost. Her name is Agatha. She hasn't been active in a little bit. But every so often, like, a door was, like, slammed really hard and no one's by the door or whatever. But, yeah, we have a haunted in my house. A ghost named Agatha, we named her. We don't know if that's her actual name or not, but enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Because, like, yes, as, you know, in later on in this video or audio, whatever you're doing, you know, on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Cast, you know, whatever you listen to it or hear, watch
we
it.
We see you.
Yeah. We watch you sleep at night. We know your YouTube feeds. We know your browsing history. You need to go to therapy. Anyways.
You don't expose me like that.
Anyways. So they discuss this, you know, back and forth, and they're drinking coffee, which they actually should be drinking our sponsor for today's video, Dubby.
Ooh.
Boom. See, I told you I can get a segue there in there somewhere, right?
That was a good one.
It was a good set. It was a good segue until I ruined it by saying it was a good segue. Anyways, so today's sponsor, Dubby, is a gamer energy drink. Unlike everything else, it's cheaper, better ingredients. You have zero caffeinated options, zero sugar options, all kinds of stuff. You can get, you know, tubs. You can even get them in the can, right? And so right now, if you use promo code NightmareTalker, you get 10% off your order, and that's for everything. The tubs, sampler packs, drinks, merch, whatever. It's 10% off at Nightmare Talkers, 10% off at w.gg. So, anyways, back to the movie. And so they're sitting there drinking their coffee, even though they should be drinking W, but that's a whole nother thing. So they're sitting there drinking their coffee, and they're kind of discussing things, like what's going on in the house. And so so they go and they talk about it, and they brought up like it could be a poltergeist, you know, hence the name of the movie.
He said it.
Right. And they say like a haunting is forever. Right. Haunting lasts forever. Poltergeist, maybe a few months. And so, which, you know, for someone who's like barely watching it, they're like, oh, I don't really get it. Or who doesn't really have like horror person eyes. I don't know. Anyways, watching it, well, remember, the girl is in the afterlife. So now, instead of like, oh, they have plenty of time to go get her, they need to figure out like the safest way to get her. Now they're like, we're on a time clock.
Yeah, we're running out of time.
Well, because at this point, it wasn't like, oh, it didn't just happen a few days later with the girl, you know, disappearing. This was like a month or so ago when they finally
Yeah, she had been trapped for a while.
Yeah, when they finally get the paranormal investigators. And so they're like, you're on a time clock. And so they discuss that. And so then they have the mom there, and she was like, they mentioned their daughter's trapped in there. And they're like, we'll call to her. She calls, you know, she wouldn't say anything to the mom, but then she says, say hi to dad. I'm not going to say the other word because, you know, nowadays the other way of
dad that's an issue,
is, you know, it's whatever. anyways.
Before we go down any further, I want to just butt in here and... Like, after they had the coffee with the investigators, the dad's boss, they had met for a new, developed location for more housing.
So this was before that. What we're discussing is before that.
Okay. I knew it happened.
I
watched this
a while. We're getting there.
You're fresh, yes.
We're getting there. Yes. Calm down. We're getting there.
Yeah, but they're walking through this graveyard.
Yeah. And like I said, this happens after these events I was going to discuss.
This happens later. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll pop in.
You'll pop in then.
Call me when. Yeah, I'll pop in then. Yes.
Yeah, go drink another glass of Chardonnay or whatever while I talk about
this. I was
going
to say, I got my here. I'm good.
Yeah. Anyways, don't say the actual name, okay? They're not sponsoring us.
I have my drink of unnamed choice.
I have my unnamed spicy drink of choice, juice. Yeah. Anyways, so Robin is gonna have to bleep that out. Anyways, so the dad's like eventually the girl says hi to her dad, and then that's when the people start hearing the girl talking and things like that, and so they decide to stay overnight. They have the cameras all set up and everything. And then kind of the one nerdy dude kind of goes, oh, even before that, the nerdy guy goes upstairs because he wanted to get a camera inside the room. And then something bit him while he was in that room. And you can see, like, he lifts up his shirt later on and you kind of see the bite marks on him. But anyway, so that night, the two guys are staying up. And like the mom and the head lady of the paranormal group, they have a little discussion. They're saying like, yeah, we're going to get your daughter out of here. I get it. And you know, they're trying to be sympathetic towards the situation. Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's a crappy situation.
Oh yeah. It's 100% a crappy situation. And so anyway, so they all finally go to sleep minus the two dudes that are staying up. And, the nerdy looking one gets up. He's like, hey, I'm going to go get some food real quick. I'm going to go get a snack real quick. And, you know, and first of all, that's kind of rude. You're in someone else's house and you're just eating their food.
Yeah, so you're going to go eat their food.
Yeah. And the other guy's like, okay, you know, I'll watch this. And also, he pulls out a steak.
Just a raw steak. Yeah. And slaps it on the counter.
Yeah, and he slaps it on the counter. And then he's like looking for other things. And then the steak starts moving across the counter.
Crawling, oozing, just by itself, just like a worm almost.
Then eventually gets to the end, Because he also has like a piece of, he has like a chicken, like a drumstick in his mouth.
Yeah, chicken leg.
Yeah, and so then he gets, it gets to the end, and that, and like maggots and things start kind of coming out of the steak. And then the guy takes the drumstick out of his mouth, the chicken leg, and sees that it has maggots on it. And obviously we know that's all like the ghosts are just projecting or not actually adding
it's
it in
there. It's the psychological.
Yeah, it's the psychological portion of it. And eventually he runs off. He goes to the, not the bathroom, but it was like another room. It was like the mud room, right, of the house.
Yeah, it had like a tiny little sink in there.
Yeah, it had like a shop sink. And so then he starts washing his hands and he sees like a part of his skin is like kind of, you know, loose. And then he has like the urge to start pulling it. And eventually he starts like peeling his face off.
Yeah, and I want to butt in here with another little fun fact.
Go for it.
So the actor that played the little nerdy dude, Spielberg didn't like how he was peeling off the mask. And so Spielberg said, give it to me, I'm going to do it myself. And so that's actually Steven Spielberg we see in that scene when he's peeling his face off.
Interesting.
Yeah. I got a few of them for this movie, dude. I'm prepared.
There you go, yeah. And so, like, the guy starts peeling his face off, and then they, you know, you see the skeleton underneath, which, by the way, great practical effects in it's this beautiful. Movie. It's horrifying. It looks good. I think I had the discussion with Robin back in the one with Terrifier, where, you know, back in what I like to call the golden years of horror, the silver screen, that great album. Ice Nine Kills, you know, great album. Anyways.
We love them.
Yeah. And so they used lots of practical effects. There wasn't a lot of like CGI back then because a lot of horror films, they didn't get that big of a budget. And like, you know, people
And it was still kind of in development back then.
Yeah. And also people hear Steven Spielberg, they go, oh, he might have had a lot of money. No, he was still starting out. Steven Spielberg, when he made that movie, was still starting out as a director. And so a lot of those films were pretty budgeted. And so practical effects are a lot cheaper. The hard part about practical effects is they just take a long time. Because like I made a video, it's a minute, like minute 18 seconds long, right? It's just a short, like really short film. And I went full practical because one, I can't afford it. And two, I was editing it. So I'm not going to try to put practical effects in that, not trying to put visual effects in the video. But that video, it's a minute 18, right? Minute 18 long.
Is that the one where you stab your friend in the back?
Yeah, yeah. It took two and a half hours to film.
Jesus.
Like the one scene where I pull him into the back and get him, that took 18 takes.
Wow.
Which the main reason why that took 18 takes was I was scared to hurt him.
Yeah.
Because I was coming from the back of the car, grabbing him by the neck and then pulling him back, right?
Uh-huh.
And so that's what was the part where it just scared me because I didn't want to hurt the guy. You know, he's my friend and we're doing this and he agreed to do that film. And like I said, I don't want to hurt him. And so I'm not going to just yank him back. And eventually he said, stop being a female body part. Got you, Robin. Anyways.
Ha-ha.
You're close.
Start laughing in French. Anyways.
Evil French laughter.
Anyways, and eventually I just yanked him. And then where you see the blood going onto the windshield, we had a spray bottle. And we put it off screen. This took like a little bit. We put it off screen. And we just used the spray bottle and sprayed onto the windshield. We flicked it sideways to get the blood splatter effect on there, right? And then eventually, and how we got hit, how I, you know, the blood that was coming out of his back, right?
Yeah.
How we did that was we got a sandwich bag. I know I went off the rails talking about my own thing, but it leads to what we're doing here.
It's background, yeah.
Yeah, and we got a sandwich bag, right? And we filled it up with fake blood. I used to have a gallon of fake blood in my house. Not even kidding. It's
what everybody needs, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I gave it to the haunted house that I worked at, the scare house. Shout out to them. We'll have an image of it of it on screen. I gave it to them, but I used it and we filled it up partway, and then we cut a hole in the bag, and then we got a shoestring and we tied the bag onto his back with the shoestring, and then we go outside, and that was only one take. That's why you see my arm jolt, because I messed up. But it's like, well, we can't do it again. So jolt forward, and I get him in the back, and I just start going at it. And what I'm doing is I'm pushing on that bag with the knife, fake knife, by the way, and yeah. It starts pushing the bag out. And then when it goes to that part where you see him on the ground, the blood coming out of his mouth, throat, and back, what I did was I went went over and I poured the blood around his face, and then I went and I stepped on the bag on his back gently, and I start, and more of it seeped out onto his back and everything. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we kind of did it. And, you know, movies back then, that's what they did, was practical effects. They had to do stuff like that to kind of be, you know, out there and open, but it takes so long to do it. And mind you, this is like mid-February where I live when we did this. It was like, I think it was like 18 degrees outside when we did this.
Your typical February.
Yeah, it was frozen. Yeah. We were freezing to death out there. I was the only one wearing a hoodie, but that was like the hoodie that I wore for the thing. And it's not a thick hoodie, right?
It was worth it for the shot, though.
Yeah, and so I actually had to call the police beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Because
this is fake.
Well, no,
but you might get a call.
Yeah, and so I did. I had to call the police, and I was like, "Hey, so this is what's happening. I'm making a little tiny short horror film in my backyard, and someone's gonna be stabbed. It's not really gonna happen. Someone's gonna be dressed up, wearing a clown mask, hoodie, all that stuff." Which, saying that out loud to the cops is like so weird, but it's like, I just want to let you know, if you hear anything from this particular address about someone being killed, we're filming back here. You know, it's my private property. You know,
mm-hmm.
We're good. And they're like, well, thanks for letting us know, because like apparently in the past people have not told them, and people have almost gotten arrested for that until they're like, hey, no, this is fake. It's all fake. And so I like mm-hmm. kind of like do that. Anyways, so back to the movie and practical effects. The amount of time it takes for stuff like that is long, but at the end, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Because it just makes it 10 times better.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so back to the movie. The guy peels his face off, and then all of a sudden, he like looks at it, and he's horrified, and then it cuts to him back to normal.
Yeah.
And so then things started happening in the house, like the room started going to go crazy, and then it starts lighting up, the hallway upstairs starts lighting up, and then you start mm-hmm. seeing people walking out and then going into a portal upstairs. And at this point, like, the whole family is starting to wake up. Like, the guy is not really paying attention, because you have, like, the scene where it kind of starts building up. And the other guy, he's listening to his music. He has no idea what's going on. He's, like, focused on, like, he was, like, a book or something.
He was sketching something.
Yeah, he was sketching. He was drawing a picture. Saying he was listening to music, not really paying attention. And the other guy came in, and he was like, dude, like, he got his attention. He said, look at that. And then eventually started illuminating the whole room. And mm-hmm. everyone else started waking up, and the ghosts come in and they go into that portal right above in the chandelier. Right. And so yes. then that's
they were where, coming like down the stairs and just kind yeah. of dissipating.
And that's where you kind of get, okay, there's the entrance and the exit is right here. Either or. Right. And then lots mm-hmm. of like TV shows and things like that made jokes about that. Like, I know American Dad made like a whole episode making fun of the Poltergeist, right? They did like a yep. Poltergeist episode. Same thing with Family Guy, except when they went into the closet, they came out of Meg's butt, right?
And yep.
and Family Guy. Anyways, and so they kind of figure out that that's when, you know, that's where people are going, and they have it on film, and they see the individual people going through, and that's when they kind of realize this is that random stuff that came out of that portal days before that we didn't see until, like, we didn't see it come out of the portal, but they have them. Like, this is what came out, this is what came out, this is what came out. I don't know, we do see the stuff fall out, but it's like they didn't know it was the portal. They just thought random things were falling from the sky because, you know, things, strange things were happening in their house. And so they're like, okay, and this is why.
And I think this is also realized when they realized how many spirits there were.
And this was before,
how much activity.
Yeah, and this was before they kind of knew what was happening, why this was happening. And then it's the next day. They kind of discuss the things from the night before. Then the dad's boss comes in and starts talking to the dad about, like, him missing work. And then the dad kind of pushes him out the door because the piano started moving and pushed him out the door. The mom.
Yeah,
and
the ghost isn't like the boss.
Yeah, yeah. And the mom and Grace will talk about why the ghosts don't like the boss. And then the mom is talking to the lady, and she's like, look, I'm going to go get an expert on this. We're going to make sure we get this taken care of. The nerdy guy, he's not coming back because, you know.
Understandably.
Yeah. But the other guy, he'll stay there. And she is coming back, and she's coming back with an expert. And then it cuts to the dad talking to the boss. And this is now, Grace, this is where you hop in.
Yes. Quiet down. It's my turn now. So, yeah, the dad's boss comes and checks on him. And he's like, yeah, you know, you've been out of work for so long. We wanted to make sure you're okay. If you're coming back, like, we can offer you a raise or a better house or whatever. And he notices the dad looks like crap. And he's like, yeah, you know, my daughter's missing, whatever. And then the boss goes, let's go take a drive. So they drive kind of outside of this housing development up to a cemetery, like up on a hill, kind of overlooking this housing.
This was before we... Sorry, I know I interrupted you during your talking time. Slap me later. Ow, I said later. Anyways.
You get it now.
Anyways, you don't know it's a cemetery yet. You just see a fence and them looking over the development. Anyways.
No, you can see the tombstones behind them.
Well, this is like
the headstones.
A little bit, but it's not really showing until it gets to the point where they kind of figure out. Anyways, continue your thing. Sorry. Play a zipper noise.
Pipe down.
Play a zipper noise, Robin.
Yeah, so the boss is like, well, what do you think? He's showing him this, like, great view of, I think it's Cuesta Verdes, like the housing development they live in now. He's like, what do you think of this view for your new picture window? Dad's like, you know, it's nice, but we don't, what do you think in here? And the boss is like, well, we're, you know, we bought the land already, and we're just waiting for approval from whoever to start building. And then it kind of pans over to the gravestones, and the dad's like, you're going to dig up a cemetery to build some houses? And the boss is like, just casually mentions, like, well, we've done it before. And then you pan to the dad's face, and he sees, like, he's got a, like, what the heck? And then he slowly turns to Cuesta Verdes, like, his housing development, and he's like, you can see it on his face, like, the dots connecting. And you can almost hear the gears turning in his brain.
Another funny thing is the dad never mentions this to the family.
No, which, like, why would you not?
Yeah. And then after that, that's when the little old southern lady shows up. She's tiny.
She's like 4 feet tall. I love her.
Oh, she's the funniest. She's in every single movie, every single Poltergeist, because there's three Poltergeists in total.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And she's in every single one of them.
Yeah.
And so we cut from that to then back at the house, and the lady kind of tells them what's going on, that saying the daughter's still alive, blah, blah, blah. And they start hatching a plan to go get her. And they do this, like, in one single night. It's not like, oh, this, and this. No, it happens in a single night.
This lady means business.
Yeah. And so they finally come up with the plan, telling the daughter, like, hey, run towards the light, because she wants the spirits to follow her to the light. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then says, okay, never mind. Now tell your daughter to stop moving.
All right, before we show this next clip, I just want to say, again, an epileptic seizure warning. A lot of flashes will be happening. Yes, so be careful. All right, enjoy the rest of the podcast.
And so then they tell her to stop moving. The old lady's, the little lady is like, hey, you that way, you that way, you that way. And then the mom goes into the portal. And
yeah, they tie a rope around her waist.
Yeah, and they and she goes into the portal to go get her daughter. And then, like, I don't know, it's like, because they mention it's Beelzebub, so I'm assuming it's like the actual devil they mention.
Well, they call it the Beast in the film.
Well, but like, that's one of the names of the devil, is the Beast.
Is right? The Beast, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like the Mark of the Beast, 666, and stuff like that. And so, and then while the mom's in there and the dad's like holding onto the rope, it pops out of
the, yeah, it's this massive skull.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any fun facts about that one?
Not about this scene, but later I do.
Anyway, so they go, so the mom is in there and the dad and the mom was like, hey, do not let go of the rope.
They give like a goodbye kiss.
Yeah.
Just in case, you know, yeah, the whole nine yards.
And so then eventually that then the beast comes out to scare them off, because the old lady said, like, this is what it's going to try to do. It knows your fears, and so it's going to amplify it once you go in that room. It's going to amplify your fears to make you scared. And it worked. The dad let go of the rope, right?
Yeah.
And at that point, the mom has her kid, and she drops from the ceiling down.
Yeah, the living room, there was like another exit portal from the living room ceiling.
Yeah.
And they fall out of that. And they're covered in this like bloody ectoplasm.
Oh, yeah.
That's nasty.
Which you just got to think about how, like, because it wasn't just like one take they did that. It was like over and over and over again.
How long it was probably in there. No, and it looked like the consistency of like jam or something. Like, I can only imagine how long after this they were sticky.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And then, like, that's oh
yeah. And so then it's the mom with the daughter. Daughter's name,
Carol Ann.
And they run her up to the bathroom, and then eventually they're sitting there and they're not breathing. You know, they're not breathing in, because they put them in the bathtub to wash them clean, both physically and spiritually, right? And so, in there, and eventually the mom starts breathing. And it's funny because Carol Ann is supposed to be super still, because Carol Ann is not breathing, not waking up. And you watch the film, and she can't keep her eyes closed. She can't stop moving.
You can see her eyes twitching. Yeah.
She can't stop. And again, this is a little kid. Mm-hmm. I totally get it.
Yeah, she's like 7 or 8, maybe.
No, she's like 5 in the movie. And so I think she was like 6, like 5 or 6 when they filmed this.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, she's youngin'.
Yeah. And so, obviously, I think they were more worried about the adult actors and actresses than the kid actors. Not like they cared about the well-being of the kid actors. Because it's like one thing I really like about Steven Spielberg is with, like, when it comes to kid actors in his movies, he takes care of them.
Yeah.
Because kid definitely. Actors in Hollywood are just notorious for, like, it's like seeing, like, everything's just really rough, and directors hate, like, major film directors hate working with kid actors. And then, I mean, you know, TV, like, you know, kids TV producers, they don't mind working with kids. But we're not going to get into that.
That's a touchy subject right there, pal.
That mess.
Stop it.
But, like, major film directors, they hate working with kids because they never go to their mark. They keep forgetting their lines, things like that.
Yeah, something always messes up.
Yeah, but, like, Steven Spielberg, he doesn't put too much pressure on the kids and let them have fun, basically, right? The kids have fun on set and things like that. So anyway, so you have the mom and the daughter there, and eventually they both, like, wake up, and then the little lady says the house is clean. And you think, okay, that's the end of the movie, right? Because you see them the next morning, They're grabbing all the stuff and they're packing it away.
Yeah, they're packing up. They're shipping out.
Yeah,
I wouldn't stay in that house.
Oh, 100%, right? They're getting ready to move. Eventually, like, the mom goes to take a bath. You know, the kids are going to go to bed that night. Because also, they were told that the stuff is done. Like, nothing's happening there anymore, right?
Yeah, and you'd trust the professional.
Yeah, and so, like, the medium says that the house is clean, they're good, but they're still moving anyways, and so they're staying one last night in the house.
Yes.
And so then, but then all of a sudden, and I don't care, we can add this to the tally, the damn clown is sitting in the rocking chair, and eventually, like, the mom's in the bath just chilling, and the dog's in there. And what's another cool thing about the dog, and it kind of brings up in the real world, dogs have a sixth sense when it comes to paranormal.
And they do. And this one survives, too. Like, in a bunch of other paranormal movies, they all kill off the dog.
Well, it...
It's so sad.
It is very sad. And the thing is, like, the realism, like, the dogs know when paranormal activity is happening. I guess this is even in real life. Dogs will warn their owners about, you know, things that are happening in the house because they have like a sixth sense when it comes to the paranormal. And so the dog's starting to kind of get uneasy there. He's also the one that the dog was the one that discovered the second portal in the house.
Yeah. He was just like barking at it.
Yeah. The dog was the one that discovered the second portal. And then the dog was there and it was super uneasy. And then events started happening in the room where, the little girl, they're trying to figure out because there's noises going on. And then the son goes and looks under his bed because the clown is gone. And so he looks under his bed to see where the clown is and then pops back up. And then the clown is there and he wraps, you know, he wraps her around the kid's face and starts dragging him under the bed. Now, I don't know if that was probably another scene filmed in reverse. Probably more than likely.
Most likely, and
starts dragging the kid underneath the bed, which, again, when we talked about Scream the last episode, if it's up, I swear on everything Miramax, I will, it's under fair use. Don't you even start.
Rude.
Anyways, because we're not, like, we're telling the movie, we're telling the story of the movie. It's under fair use. It's under criticism of fair use at that point, right? And so, because we're not just straight up showing the film. Because, like, you can watch it. There's lots of part of the film that we cut out. Because we want you guys to watch the film. This is, like, the whole purpose of this podcast.
Yeah, we're not going to give it play-by-play.
Yeah. We're kind of going through different scenes. We're kind of going more over the major scenes of the movie. Right, we're kind of spoiling it. But we want you guys to go watch the movies itself. And give your guys' opinions over the movies. So, anyway, so back to the movie. The boy gets dragged under and eventually the mom gets him out and, then things start going crazy in the house. The storm shows back up and eventually eventually the dad goes outside and, the mom goes outside and she falls in the pool where the pool used to be. And then all of a sudden,
they were digging for the pool.
Yeah. They're digging for the pool. And then
this is where I have another little fun fact.
Okay, go for it.
To cut you off here, like you have done to me.
You've done it to me too, so don't even start.
Well, I'm bringing it back again now. So, anyways, the mom falls in the pool and she's like scrambling because they were digging for the pool to put it in. So it doesn't have any ladders, it's just this hole in the ground. It's flooded with rainwater, and because the housing development was it was built on top of a cemetery, all of these corpses just start floating up in like caskets. And this is apparently, I don't know if this is true, but I've heard allegedly that they bought real corpses and real skeletons because the ones they were using, like the fake ones, just didn't have the same effect.
You know, a lot of movies actually do that. They'll get like,
I believe it,
like bodies that were donated to science after they're done with them. They will take those actual corpses. They don't do that nowadays, but back in the day they did.
Back then, yeah.
Yeah, because lots of movies are known for that. Like some of those things in Texas Chainsaw, like some of the furniture, they actually made out of like some, because they didn't have enough fake material. They used some real things, right?
I mean,
it's
yeah.
a rumor. Like, they're never going to outright say, oh, yeah.
No, they're never going to confirm
we're,
it. But...
we're using a quartz, but it's just like.
Yeah, this is Roger here.
when you're looking at it, when you're looking at it, and you can see the fake ones, you see the real ones, there is a huge distinct difference between the real stuff and the fake stuff.
There is.
And so, anyways, continue on your thing about corpses and things coming out. Perfect thing to say, right? Just so normal to say that. Oh, yeah, let's continue
just
talking
your
about
average
corpses.
Monday, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, because let's continue talking about corpses.
Yeah, so... And I think at this point, the dad had gone to, like, the dad was at work, like, meeting with the boss. And he comes home, and he had already known about the housing being built on the cemetery. And so he shows up with his boss and runs out back to save his wife.
He was told the bodies had been moved.
No, he didn't. They hadn't brought that up. Like, they just said relocated the cemetery. They said nothing about keeping the bodies where they were or moving them.
Yeah, they just said they relocated
that
the cemetery.
That part was conveniently left out. Yes.
And
yes.
So everyone thought, oh, yeah, if they relocated the cemetery, they dug up
the bodies.
They dug up the graves. They dug up the caskets and they moved them with the cemetery.
Yeah, that's what you would think would happen. Not in this one.
Good old corporate America. Anyways.
Yeah, so the dad comes out, grabs his wife out of the pool. They go back in and get their kids. And all this time, like, more coffins and bodies are, like, coming out from the ground. And at this point, the dad corners his boss, and he's like, you relocated the cemetery, but you didn't dig up the graves? Like, you didn't dig up the people? He's grabbing him by the collar and, like, shaking him violently.
While the whole neighborhood watches.
Yes, everybody's out on their front porch.
They're all seeing this go down.
Yeah. And Dana, the teenager, was staying with her friend. And so she comes home so she can obviously move with her family. And she just comes home to this chaos. And so she's screaming and crying because she doesn't know what's going on. She just got there. And so the whole family just jumps in a car and just drives off, like, doesn't look back, just flees the scene. And then the house just, like, slowly implodes and just disappears into nothing, which here comes another fun fact with Grace behind the scenes. So the model of the house, of that scene where the house was imploding, that model was only, like, 6 feet.
Yeah, it was a miniature model.
It was either tall or wide. Yeah, it was a miniature model that they just, like, I don't remember if they burned it or broke it. Anyways, but it was a model. It wasn't obviously a whole house that they just wrecked.
I think they had something. They were just dragging it into the hole.
Yeah.
And then you have good old
movie. They had the model.
Yeah, and they had good old movie magic. It had, like, it wasn't like a minifigure of the guy. It was the actual guy. It's just, you know, blue screen stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the movie ends, they pull into a motel, get into their room, and then it cuts to the dad just pushing the TV out of the room onto the balcony, and then the movie ends.
And then you have, like, the credits roll, and it was actually a Holiday Inn, because, you know, hotels back then, it's a lot different today. And they just rolls the TV out and puts it on the balcony.
Yep.
And they all go
out on, like, the catwalk there. Yes.
And you can look at, you can see that he's just so done.
Like, he's, just, like, he's just so over it. He's like, oh, one last thing before I go to bed.
Yeah. Just in case. Right.
Yep. Which, you know, if that happened to me, that's what I would do too. I don't blame him at all.
100%. Yeah. And then the credits roll, end of movie. Ta-da. You know.
Voila.
Anyways, so Grace, so what did you like about the movie? What did you didn't like about the movie? I know we talked about this before, but, you know, we always like to kind of give beforehand and then after. Because
the ratings and stabs, man.
Well, we can go now into more, like, because what we do is we kind of do, like, nitpicks of it, but we don't really talk about everything because, you know, we save that for discussing the movie. And then we'll talk about what we like and what we didn't like, and we can go into more detail because of the fact that now we talked about the movie, we can say this stuff now. So,
yes.
Anyways, take it away.
I honestly think that this is a very good, like, beginner horror. You know, like I said at the start of this recording, it's suspenseful, but it's not too jump scary. It's not too gory. I really don't have any nitpicks on it. I think everybody was cast perfectly. Admittedly, I do think there could have been a bit more dialogue between the characters because at the beginning. Because mostly it was just Carol Ann talking to the TV and just kind of the family just existing. There wasn't really very much, like, breakfast banter.
Yeah.
Overall, I think it's a really good movie. It's that kind of, like, at the time, you know, I'm sure it was scary when it came out, but now that we've evolved 40 plus years, it's more cheesy now than it is scary.
Yeah. This is very true. And then how many stabs do you give it?
I'd give it a solid between 3.5 and 4. It's not my favorite, but it is a classic.
Yeah.
It's good, but yeah.
True. Anyways, so okay, well for me, I liked it. It, like, if obviously same thing, kind of like an early, like kind of like a thing that kind of introduced people to horror. Which would be the Poltergeist, right? Like anyone who wants to kind of get into that movie, doesn't want to, anything too scary, but kind of be in that realm, I 100% recommend this movie. You know, and yeah, I'm gonna start becoming a little bit more critical of it, of movies, because it's like there could have been, like you said, there could have been a lot more dialogue, there could have been more character development for the characters in the movie, because everything just shot off, right?
Yeah.
And there could have been a lot more character development with things like that, because everything just, like, went from one thing right to another, right to another, right to another, right to another, right? Like, I would have liked to see, like, how did the family first react, like, the next day after it happened,
yeah, right?
Like, the next day after things happened, you know, did they sit there and discuss about it? Did they just sit there in silence? What happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is, like, a major thing for me, and I get it. It's, like, you know, you kind of want to get this off the ground. You want to keep people sitting there. But it's like, it's a movie. It's a story, right? And in every good story, there has to be, like, you have to have the actual reactions after what happened, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's for every good story. Like, you got to have the reactions. And that's my thing. And so I'm going to be very critical and give it a 2.5. Because I'm not saying it's not because it's, like, old and stuff like that. It's just really just did not give enough character to the characters. There wasn't really a lot of backstory for the characters. And yeah, I feel like that's what we need for a
story,
movie.
Yeah.
And obviously, again, this is Steven Spielberg first starting out, you know, things like that. And so I get it. You're first starting out, but you've done a movie before where there was a lot more character development in the movie. What happened? Right. And again, this is nothing against Steven Spielberg, nothing against that movie. I think it's a good movie. It's a classic, you know, but again, I got to have to give it like a 2.5 out of 5 stabs. So you said you kind of gave it a 3.5, 3, 3, 4. So we kind of,
yeah, you know, like a 3.5.
Yeah. And so 2.5, 3.5, average it up a three of the movie. Right.
Yeah.
So there you go. And yes, you can call me the Simon Cowell of this show. I'm going to start being more critical because I also looked at it. Like, we kept giving lots of movies a lot higher ratings than they probably should have deserved, in my opinion. But, you know, still, like, you know, we still got to look at it from a, not only like a horror standpoint, we got to look at it a storytelling standpoint. So
yeah, we got to look at the overall.
Yeah, the overall with it. So anyways, so, Grace, this is the end segment. Do you want to say anything to these fine people before we head off?
You know, I hope you go and watch the movie if you have a free... It wasn't too long of a movie. It was like an hour and a half, hour 45 maybe?
Like an hour and 50.
Yeah, you know, if you got some spare time, go ahead, put it on in the background, even just listen to it. Good beginner horror. Plus,
you know.
Yes. Yeah, you got that. Go ahead. And thank you for listening to us ramble.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening. You know, again, go watch The Poltergeist on Paramount Plus or any other, like on Apple TV, whatever streaming platforms it's on. Legal streaming platforms is on, because we're here to support the movie and its creators and things like that. So go support it on those websites. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening or watching or both, whatever, you know, you can do whatever. We won't judge you out loud. Anyways, Robin, hopefully you enjoyed your 1 hour of being, you know, outside, because it's you have to be back inside now. Anyways, thank you guys so much for watching, listening. And as always, be spooky.